plate a potential nugget.
Moving to a different theme, Matt. You know, I'm sure you come across people that work with you, that train with you rather, who excel in one of the domains. Let's say whether it's swimming or running or biking, and they come to you to train for a triathlon. I'm curious about the big shifts that people often need to make when they come from excellence in one domain, but now they need to be good at multiple domains. To me, at some level, it feels a bit like moving from a functional leadership role to general management in a company. So talk to me a little bit about what are some of the interesting things you observe as people make this transition from excellence in one space to being good at multiple things.
It's a great question. And I think that your analogy is absolutely perfect, because the interesting thing about multi-sport, you know, you've got a sport in which it's almost three individual sports, but ultimately it's not swimming, biking and running. The sport is three disciplines, swim, bike, run, and it creates one sport. So it's multi-sport, therefore it's multidisciplinary. And This is a very similar skill set that is required to be a high-level executive. Multi-level functioning and emotional intelligence and executive functioning. And so it all becomes about intentional focus. The real benefit is that I've yet to meet anyone coming into embracing a multi-sport lifestyle in which they have a perfectly balanced set of skills. So if we use triathlon as the example, they are as strong as a swimmer and a cyclist and a runner. There is always one or two that are slightly stronger, and there's one or two that needs growth. And the interesting part about participating or going on a journey of this is it therefore creates an arena of forced growth. And very rarely in life, as we become adults, do we put ourselves in situations where we have to grow in an area of real weakness. And so often when people take this on, and they might be a very poor swimmer. Imagine somebody, again, coming back to preparing for my Ironman Goa, and they decide that that's going to be their first race that they're going to do in the sport. They're going to look at it, and the tendency is always going to be to fall towards their strengths. And the reason for that is that they're familiar. The strengths are familiar. But the necessity is to actually force growth in the weaknesses. Yes, rely on the strengths. Yes, continue to look to grow and magnify those and use them. But we have to actually see blind spots, see weaknesses, so that we can develop. So the interesting thing that we see almost every time working with an executive who comes in and starts to deploy a multi-sport lens, and it doesn't matter if it's triathlon or it's just multiple disciplines, they might be rowing and riding a spin bike and doing some strength training, whatever it might be, the development of weakness, it's very rare that they don't start to join the dots back to the requirements of themselves as being a really high-functioning executives and CEO. And if I can, I'll tell you a really brief story. And this goes back several years now, but one of my long-time athletes and now developed into very good friends, Sir Michael Moritz, who's a very well-known venture capitalist in the Bay Area and was the chairman of Sequoia Capital. When he arrived to Purple Patch and we started working with him, his quest was, I want to become a better cyclist. And he had a wonderful goal. He said, my goal or my mission is to reach 90% of my potential. And when you first hear that, that might sound defeatist. But really what he was saying is, I want to maximize my return on investment within context of everything else that I have in my life. And obviously a very busy person with travel and a lot of responsibility in the workplace. But over the course of the development of becoming a cyclist, we integrated something that was really critical for him, strength and conditioning training. And we also introduced him to swimming. And at the time, he could barely swim. But that forced growth of developing in where he was passionate cycling, but then introducing swimming, it opened up his journey, and he started to join the dots back to what it takes to be a high functioning executive. And we've spent a lot of time talking about this, of the benefits of multi-sport to link back to, in many ways, the workplace, or I would even make it grander than that, what it takes to be successful in life.
That's fascinating. If I may persist with this theme, Matt, I like the term forced growth, where you push on things which might possibly be a weakness. And you yourself said that it's not just about playing to your strengths, but in a world with finite time, how do you reconcile this with, let's say, the 10,000 hours number that's floating around, right? Thanks to Malcolm Gladwell. Where he says, pick one or two things and get really good at it by spending a lot of time doing it. So in a world with finite time, how do you reconcile making time for forced growth versus maybe using that time for doubling down on something else where you're already distinctive? How do you think about that?
Well, I think that, you know, firstly, the 10,000 hours component is wonderfully hooky, and it's a lovely concept. And I think that the positive out of that messaging is it's a journey. So nothing happens in an instant gratification. It's almost the antithesis of that let's get what we need now mindset. And so, but unfortunately, it's a myth. 10,000 hours doesn't necessarily create excellence. And so it's wonderful, but it's a myth. But I understand the context behind it. And I think that the really critical component that comes out of it is, if you want to be excellent at anything, and then it is without doubt a journey. It is not going to happen quickly. It's going to take time. And therefore, the most success is going to arrive out of falling in love with the journey rather than just being outcome driven. And so I'll first say that about 10,000 hours. It's a great thing if you put it in context. But and let me also say that random collection of just doing a whole bunch of stuff is not necessarily is not going to yield results either. And so what I'm not suggesting here is, by saying multi-sport or multi-discipline, that doesn't mean that you have to go along the escalator of life and grab everything that is in touch with you. Focus is important, and intentional focus is critical. Understanding what the components that you have to focus on in order to give you biggest yield. But yes, if you want to become the best violinist in the world, and you are 8 years old and you only focus on violin, there's potentially a path for you to do that. And that might be critical. But if you are looking to become a high-functioning business leader, it is impossible in that scope of what it requires for it to be a singular strength to be really good at. So I would come back and I would argue that in order to become the best leader, the best CEO, the best executive, you have to ultimately not just be really good at the financial implications. You have to develop multidisciplinary approaches. And so I think you still have a narrow focus within the sporting world, but there's something wonderfully healthy about the multi-sport component, where it forces growth in an area, but it's still under a very particular, very narrow focus in many ways.
I like what Matt says about what Sir Michael Moritz tells him when he joins Purple Patch Fitness. I want to play it back just to reiterate the point.
And this goes back several years now, but one of my longtime athletes and now developed into very good friends, Sir Michael Moritz, who's a very well-known venture capitalist in the Bay Area, and was the chairman of Sequoia Capital. When he arrived to Purple Patch and we started working with him, his quest was I want to become a better cyclist. And he had a wonderful goal. He said, my goal or my mission is to reach 90% of my potential. And when you first hear that, that might sound defeatist. But really what he was saying is, I want to maximize my return on investment within context of everything else that I have in my life.
This might seem like a simple point, but situational awareness, to be aware of everything that you have going on, is a key attribute of a leader. How far to push and where, and understanding the constraints, which of these are flexible and which of these are rigid, within which one operates, requires a certain level of mindfulness, listening and awareness that often needs to be cultivated over time. While I see a lot of emphasis on habits, especially with type A leaders, it's critical that we don't become slave of our habits. It's important that we become situationally aware and are able to flex depending on the overall picture. That's why the statement from Sir Michael Moritz that I want to maximize 90% of potential in this domain suggests a certain clarity of how someone is solving the jigsaw of life in the context of what matters to them. Thank you for listening. Please visit playtopotential.com for more content. You could visit the curated playlist section for specific bite-sized nuggets that are captured by themes, some of which might be relevant for you. You can also find the podcast offline on platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you find this content purposeful, please rate and review wherever you consume this content. It will help others discover it. To receive updates on new content at the podcast, please sign up at playtopotential.com.